Hello and welcome to another Pressure Washers Pushing Pipe Hitting Pinheads. While Papa got a partner to help put a new face on pretty paint jobs, Uncle Gary put a guy named Pablo in the trunk of his Ford Pinto episode of the Days Grim. My name is Brian Michael Day.
My name is Thomas Grimm.
What's up, dude? Hey, what's your middle name? It's Alfred, right?
Yeah.
You never say it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like I always go full name all the time, and you're always like, hey, my name's Tom.
Yeah. My initial spell tag. Who's producing the show?
Tag 3. I'll tell you who's producing the show.
Pablo.
Fucking Pablo. No.
No, Drew couldn't make it. Yeah.
Yeah, Drew's out of office this week. He's at a bar mitzvah this weekend, so. I think. Yeah.
L'chaim.
So, L'chaim. You have to put a little more throat on it.
Yeah.
L'chaim. Also, man.
Is that like their circumcisions?
Yeah, I think so. Also, shout out to us for having an awesome website. Check that shit out, thedaysgrim.com. Get in there, dip the tip in, get some merch.
Doing all right this week?
Do I want to what?
So you're doing all right this week?
I'm fucking okay.
Yeah.
A little high strung after that fucking...
New car, new phone, same trash.
Right yeah, here, exactly. You know? I'm gonna do myself a favor and pour some bourbon. Will you also do me a favor and hit them with...
Wait for it.
That intro.
Joining us this week in the Days Grim studio is Nick Martin from Purple Moosh Power Washing.
How are you? What's up, y'all? Oh, what's
we got
up?
An ice cube down.
Wow.
We got an ice
way
cube
to
down.
Go.
Hold on.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not a bartender by trade, I promise.
Starting it off wrong. Done dropped one. Kobe.
Yeah. Miss
it.
Not going to be
He'll
great.
Mop the floor later.
Not going to be great. I haven't mopped this floor in 3 years.
Yeah, there's a full dog in the corner behind
Nick. And I've lived here for 2 years. That's how long I've not mopped this floor. Yeah. So
it's bad.
Nick, what's up, dude?
What's up,
y'all? Dude, it's been a while since we've
it's
seen
been a
you.
While. Been a
so
while.
On these, on
stained.
These,
you know what I'm saying?
It's been a while.
Been a while.
On these business cards, though, it says for all... Well, I guess... Before we do that, last time we had you on, man, in the early 40s.
Oh, yeah. Long time ago.
Dude,
yeah.
You know what? The 40s, my favorite decade, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure, dude. World War II?
World War II.
Fuck, I get chubbed up.
The last time, there was a super cool couch.
There were a lot of on that couch, though.
Stains.
Mm-hmm. I'll bleep.
Good old Corey.
Yeah, dude.
Before he died.
Have you seen Ordinary Men on Netflix, speaking of World War II?
No, I've not.
It's pretty sweet.
Oh, shout out. Band of Brothers and The Pacific are now on Netflix. I've watched them both 1.5 times now.
Did you watch Hacksaw Ridge? It's on there too.
Is that the photographer? No, that's,
no, that's
the medic.
The medic.
Yeah, the medic. Yeah.
And you know, they actually waited. So like they've reached out to that guy's son like 10 times to get the movie made. And he's like, no, I need it more historically accurate.
Wild, dude.
Right.
Did you see 1917? That's not on Netflix.
I've talked about 1917 probably 100 times.
Have you seen 1917, the World War One movie?
Can't say that.
Oh, my. Who directed it? Do you remember? You should remember.
I don't. But, dude.
The guy's a genius, whoever directed it. And
they filmed the whole
here.
Thing to look like a one-take video.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
So, like, it looks like there's only two cuts in the entire movie. Like, it's...
And it flows.
Yeah.
Flawless. They shot the whole thing in 3 months or 6 months.
Something crazy.
Yeah, they shot an entire Hollywood film in three. I mean, they would just start recording and then just roll for like minutes. For like minutes, plural. Like for like 10 minutes, they would just do a shot. Like a continuous shot of this guy running through the woods and the cameraman
and
is just
following.
And
then the scene
him.
Where he's like running across the front lines and somebody runs into him. That was actually, that was like.
A fuck up?
Yeah. It wasn't meant to be there. But Nick, since you were on last time, man, you started this Purple Moosh pressure washing.
Yes, sir. Yes,
power
sir.
Washing.
Yeah, what's that been like?
Power washing.
It's been awesome. So started that back in April. Basically, just started doing it on the side, friends, family, and whatnot, and then decided to go bigger. So yeah, started the full company, and then started doing that. Been rolling since April.
So you're full time in this now.
Full time, part time,
three quarter
same,
time.
Same, yeah. On the weekends, if I can get to it during the week.
Hell yeah, so, dude.
Yep, still working full time, but hopefully one day.
That's honestly the goal, I think, for everybody. But you have to start somewhere. So
that's
like
right.
You buy one machine, and then you buy the stuff you need to run that machine, and for any business, and then you do your thing, and then if it goes well, you set your prices super low, and if it goes well, and you get customers, then. You kind of just keep piling and adding and increasing your prices.
Yeah, and a bunch of it's been going into marketing and stuff like that. So
that shit ain't cheap, dude.
No, going into Facebook and buying.
Who are
more
you working with? With Mark? Do you want to say or do you not want to say?
nobody with marketing. Been with you guys for, when was it, the last?
Yeah, we were doing. Oh, and for everybody that recognizes the name, Purple Moose Power Washing, yeah, you were an official sponsor. You were one of the first official sponsors of this show, official.
So you guys are the only ones I have officially worked with.
And then just like Facebook and other social media
ads. Instagram, stuff like that.
I thought you were working with a lady, no?
So working with one of the wife's friends, shout out Lindsay. Okay. She's been helping me out a lot with the website and stuff like that on the backside of stuff that I'm not so big on. I just like doing the work. So
it's hard to be good at all this shit, man.
Like, well, and like before the podcast even started, I have like 3 different business ideas written out in my little black book of like knowledge or whatever. And pressure washing was actually one of them. Mm-hmm. So like, it's interesting to me. So like I got the idea for it when I had to drive from the west side all the way to Poseyville to work. And you'd see all these houses in the country with north side mold or just like a whole garage that's covered. Yeah. And like, I was like, man, if you could even hit up these people or even like, back in the day, I used to, when I mowed grass, I went to trailer parks and I handed them out and I was like, yo, I'll mow your grass for $15, $10. Yeah. But then you get a line of them and you just mow that whole section. Going, I was like, dude, if you can do that same thing in a trailer park or something.
Especially
like,
if you're already out there, just go knock on the door. Hey, look, this is my work right here, you know, firsthand. So
what put the idea to start a pressure washing in your head?
So, like I said, just starting out, doing it on the side, whenever I first bought my first pressure washer.
Was it just to do a house project at your house?
Yeah, just to do the driveway, cars, and whatnot. So, kind of the same thing. Then I started looking at more of, like, what you're saying, seeing places when you drive around, Newburgh, Eastside, so on and so forth. Yeah, it's just gross. So, you know, you got to get the machine and everything. And then kind of go from there. Started practicing on friends and family's houses with the bigger machine, trying to get the bigger new, better stuff to help me out, be more efficient.
More efficient.
Yeah, thank you.
Man. It's interesting, though. And you were saying you were seeing a lot of gross houses where at?
Oh, and like just Poseyville? From Poseyville to the west side.
Poseyville, hit me up.
Dude, Poseyville, shout out, man. So if you got some north side mold or you got...
they call it jumping mold.
Jumping mold. Or if you got those jumping hookers in your front yard, you know, just hit our dude up and he'll fucking hose them down and get them out of there, dude. Do you think that that's a thing? You remember, well, this is going
to
you think there's
riots and they're calling pressure washer people to come in? Hey, it wasn't the fire department. This is a third party pressure washer.
I'll just stop there. I'll just leave that where that lies because we were about to go civil rights movement. I don't want to go there.
I know.
Okay. No, but man, it's really, really neat. So like, so you just initially like got into it for a personal project and then just started seeing shit.
So on your business card, it says for all your pressure and soft washing needs.
I like a soft wash.
What's a soft wash? Like if Brian needs a sponge bath.
I like that.
Yeah, right. I can hook that up. It may not be me doing it, but we can hook it up. Yes, sir. Yeah.
I know a guy.
So a soft wash is something where it's going to be on your house. It's going to be on your roof. So whenever you see the mold on your house, on the top, on the roof, you're going to soft wash that. You're not wanting to use pressure. You're going to mess up your shingles, et cetera, et cetera. Soft wash, you're going to use very low pressure. You're going to use a little bit of chemical, soap as a surfactant. Very easy, basic stuff that you have around the house. Spray it on there, let it dwell 30 minutes or so. Sometimes you can rinse it off, sometimes you can leave it. As long as you're spraying down everything surrounding, not to kill the wife's plants, et cetera, and stuff like that. Unless you want to kill your plants and your grass.
Honestly, I got a hit for these petunias out front. Yeah. So talk to me after the show about this. She cares more about those fucking flowers than she does me.
Man.
She does, dude.
Maybe she's saving them for your grave.
I'm going to put those flowers down, dude. You're familiar with the show, though. You've been on one time before, pre-business ownership, and now as an owner. You're familiar with the tasty little treat called the Death of the Week.
I know about it.
You remember the Death of the Week?
I remember it.
Tom? Spin that track.
Yeah, Drew, that's not sitting in that chair. Let's go ahead and spin up this week's Death of the Week.
The Death of the Week.
This week's Death of the Week brought to you by, again, thedaysgrim.com. Get in there. Get some sweet merch. you know, just check our shit out, man. We're going to have a new website real soon, so we're going to bedazzle you guys to death, and it's going to be great. You're going to love it. But get in there. There's like three t-shirts, a canteen, a mug.
A trucker hat.
Dude, I have the mug and I literally use it. It's in the studio right now. I use the mug all the time. I love the mug, dude. It's really, really great quality for what you're paying. So, get in there, check out thedaysgrim.com. Get some sweet merch. This week's Death of the Week, guys, are you a car wash fan, Nick?
Am I a car wash fan?
Yeah, are you a car wash fan?
Yeah, I went to the car wash yesterday.
Car washer killed after colleague inserts high-pressure hose into, wait for it, rectum. The man's family believes that the incident was a hate crime sparked by an argument over the practice of animal sacrifice. Now, it goes into a little bit of detail here, but in short, the long and skinny. A man died after having a high-pressure hose inserted into his rectum in what his family believes was a hate crime. Age 48 died last month when a colleague allegedly inserted the instrument, which is used to clean cars, according to the Indian Express. Into his rectum. This is a very poorly written article, but I'll go on. The incident happened at the Toyota Shinrai showroom in Cotton Green, a commercial and residential area in Mumbai, where Mr. A Muslim worked. I love how they had to mention that he was Muslim.
It's because of the animal sacrifice.
Oh, true. Good point. Thank you, Tom. His colleague, Santosh Ahir Akar, has been arrested and charged with murder. But while the state's police and Toyota reportedly believe that the death was an accident, Mr.'s family do not agree that it was a mere prank. First thing that I noticed is they emphasized the animal cruelty and then that he was Muslim, right?
Right.
Homeboy's name, last name. Dude, this is a hate crime all around for me.
This like that the police are like.
Like a Sheikh Muslim. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I just think it's funny that the police were like, oh, an accident. Like, what? How is anything about this situation an accident?
He fell on it. Fell on it. Clear. Isn't that always the best? My wife is telling me. My wife's a nurse. My wife's telling me, like, and I know a bunch of nurses in our family, and they always talk about, like, things that they have to pull out of guys' assholes. And it's always, I fell on it. It was an accident.
Yeah, it very much sounds like he just wanted to wash his ass.
Yeah, dude, you were fucking
gank. We had that one guy that got his dick stuck in a Mountain Dew bottle.
No, that wasn't a death of the week, but it got brought up during
It got brought up during
Shout out to Jody Murtha. That was episode Wish That Drew Was Here and I Could Tell You. Jody Murtha, it was her first one. Phenomenal episode. But yeah, he got his stuck in a Mountain Dew bottle. What a bold strategy. Right. So what do you think about the dangers of getting one of these put up your
Well, better yet, you should start the question off with, have you ever hit the stream off the hose and cut yourself?
Ooh. I haven't done that, no. I don't think
mine's... But have you hit, like, your shoe or anything and watched, like, it tear, like, your boot or anything
I haven't
like
tore
that?
Anything. So, at work now, we have a lot stronger pressure washers on the truck, and we dig, so, I mean, that's about it. We dig about 6-7 foot holes, whatever they need. But on my personal one, no. I've never seen anything crazy like that.
Do you think that one of these larger industrial pressure washers
could cut somebody's throat?
100%.
What about taking an arm off?
If you really went at it.
If you really went at it, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Not in like one blow. I mean, you'd have to like...
You might have to tap it a few times.
Have you ever seen somebody get injured by a pressure washer?
By a pressure washer.
That high pressure stream? That shit's terrifying, dude. And they... God, dude, we joke about it in like high school. Like, I still joke about it sometimes. Like the pressurized air out of a out of an air compressor or whatever. And people joke around with it. And like, I've worked in shops where they have like fucking high pressure fucking air, dude. Like high pressure air.
You ever seen one of those valves go bad where it shoots the air out constantly and it's just like fucking waving around?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Chasing it down.
But also, how scary is that to think that like one of the days you're just joking around with your buddy and you
shit pops off,
blow some air up in his shorts or something, and there's like a small piece of metal and it comes out and goes right into his fucking or something. Isn't that
it'd be rough.
So what was it? That's a bad day. That was this week's death of the week, by the way, before you cut off and go into the actual interview, brought to you by thedaysgrim.com.
So like in my previous experience with pressure washing, I worked at a car dealership that you pressure wash. So like you can pressure wash cars. I've done it on, you know, grandparents' houses, driveways.
Cars.
When I did industrial sandblasting and painting and worked in like steel fabrication, they use it in those places.
Yeah.
But when so like in the steel fabrication aspect, like they use like special chemicals and stuff like that. So when you were first starting out, did you have to do research to like what chemicals can I use without taking a class and license and like what's natural and all that? Or
yeah, I had to look up, do some research, to seeing what chemicals you use, what chemicals you want to stay away from. And me and Brian actually talked this morning because I was doing his porch this morning.
Shout out. Buddy. And it looks great. It's fresh and clean, dude.
Thank you. So we didn't want to take any paint or anything off of the house, so we would do a spot treat. So you would have to see what kind of chemical you have to, or not what kind of chemical you would have to mix, but at what ratio, you know, to kill it down some. If you have a strong mix, call it hot sauce. It's going to burn through if you let it sit. Same thing with, you know, like your grass. Take off your paint, take off whatever else. So yeah, you have to do your research a little bit, see what you can do. That way you're using the right proportion.
Are these chemicals hard to get a hold of?
No, not at all. You can go to Walmart, anything.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just pool chlorine. Honestly, you look at that first ingredient, it says sodium hypochlorite, 10%, 12%, 6%. That's the number you're looking at. And so that's what you're going off of whenever you're looking at mixing with your water.
Is there anything that comes with the sodium hypochlorite, or is it just like a dilution where it's just like sodium hypochlorite in water?
I can't remember what else is in it, but there's a couple others. But yeah, I mean, just basically.
Mostly.
And then how do you adjust to your pressure? So like some people, you know, if they got a brick house and your pressure is too high, you're eating into that brick. Or like so that's where some paint that's chipping or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's where your soft wash comes in. So like whenever you ask like a soft wash, you're going to want to use a certain tip. You're going to have a soap application tip. It's going to bring your pressure down quite a bit. If you have a bigger washer, you can dial it in. Or there's other stuff that you can use, a hose and just a 12 volt pump, hook it up to a battery and run your solution through there.
Hold on. We're hooking up pressure washers to fucking batteries.
No,
dude?
Not the pressure washer itself. Just a whole nother separate thing.
What the fuck is the separate thing? You lost me there. What are we hooking up to the battery?
Seen, like, have you seen those people that like, that they do a car and you connect this thing to your hose and it soaps the car and then you take it off and then you wash the car off?
Yeah.
It's the same, but with a battery, right?
No. So that's a foam cannon. Not a foam cannon. So you can buy them at Real King. I've seen other setups too. People do it many different ways. So you're just getting between a 2.5, 5 gallon and up. Probably 5's your top. You're going to get a 5 gallon a minute pump. You're going to hook that up to your tank with your water and solution, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or you can do it through your pressure washer.
I see what you're saying. Right. Okay. So you have like this tank off to the side, and you've got like your solution down here
right.
in a separate container.
Correct.
And then there's a pump between the two.
Yep.
And then you hook the pump up to a battery.
Yes, sir.
And then it mixes the two into a solution.
Yes, sir.
And then that whole system has a hose that goes to your pressure washer.
Nope.
No?
Just its own. You can use a 55-gallon drum, set the pump on top. Straight to
and
it.
Then what do you do with the 55-gallon drum once it's all like solved? You know, once it's all mixed together, what do you do with the liquid that's like the water and the chemicals that have mixed? Like, is there not a hose that goes to the pressure washer?
Nope. So you're bypassing the pressure washer. That's out of the equation at that point.
That's for the soft wash, right? So you're not even using the pressure washer.
Like a little gun or something for that drum that like sprays it on the house or something?
You build you a nice long rod and. Long rods.
I get it. You look like a bug sprayer kind of situation.
Something like
Yeah, dude. Okay, I see what's happening now.
Yeah.
I'm very stupid, so we're going to have to like slow this down.
So what was it? So when you first started, you just basically had the pressure washer and adding chemicals and stuff like that. How long until you got that surface cleaner?
surface cleaner came into play probably about a month in. I had a smaller one, and it was not rated for the new pressure washer. So whenever I did my own driveway, the surface cleaner decided to explode, and I went and got a bigger one. So that came into about May.
And for those surface cleaners, we got one on screen right now at this point. But it's basically just a circle thing that the pressure washer goes to, and that with the pressure, it moves the brushes mm-hmm. inside. And so it's like basically that Roomba that goes around mm-hmm. your house. It's like that, but you're controlling it.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It looks like a Roomba, but you're pushing it around.
But you're pushing it. Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Cuts the job in
half.
Does
it have like bristles and shit on it?
It's got bristles on the outside, and then yeah, on the inside, like Tom said, it's just got little nozzles on it, and they just spin real quick. And you're pushing all that pressure straight down.
And that's part of the soft wash?
That's not part of the soft wash.
No, it's not. That's just part of the fucking...
I would love to see somebody with one of those on a roof. That would be a lot of fun.
Oh, shit.
No,
dude.
But you use it for like driveways and like porches that are concrete and stuff like that.
I.e. my porch. Did you use that on my porch?
I sure did.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually the picture that's on screen.
Oh, yep. Sick, dude. Shout out to the surface. What do we call it?
Surface cleaner.
Surface cleaner, dude. It's interesting because like Tom was saying before, he has this book of ideas of like starting different businesses and like different models and stuff, and the net worth to put in versus the net worth you get out. And like we talked a little bit about with Zach Parsons from Honeymoon Coffee Company about like how it's such a small amount to put in, and then your output is like what do you call that, ROI or whatever, like. You have to invest so much before you get a return or something.
Right, but the
companies that have a good ROI.
When you're starting out, just like Nick's doing, though, is to snowball it back into the business, mm-hmm. i.e. marketing. I mean, if you already have equipment that's like baseline for what you need and like your demands, like if you're not running like a 2 or 3 person crew to knock out a whole house in 4 hours instead of taking you 10 hours by yourself.
Yeah.
Then like your ROI is going to be better used in marketing like you're doing to get more jobs, to where once you get to where you can't handle it anymore, then you can hire some like high school kids.
But that was the point I was going to make, is that like it's a good business to start when you reference your return on investment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it is it's a low ceiling to get into. It really doesn't take that much money. I mean, I don't know how much the chemicals go for and how regularly you're going through them at what rate. But like, honestly,
well, even like when you're starting out, like, so you've got your own water tank.
I don't have a water tank.
Okay.
No. So like thinking about it,
the car dealerships, which is maybe something you should look into. Mm-hmm. The car dealership I worked at, they had an old beat up truck, 55-gallon water tank and a pull start pump attached to the bed of the truck.
Yep.
And you would go out there, and you see them at all the dealerships now, but these companies go in and they literally, you wash them off and then you chamois them, and you do that through the whole lot. But that's then they even do it in the winter to get the snow off.
Yeah.
They'll go through and they'll do that, but then you got to make sure that you chamois the door jam or it'll freeze shut.
That's where you're going to want to get into a hot seat at that point. You're not going to want to just use a hot seat.
That sounds hot.
It does sound hot.
What's
it's
a hot seat?
Basically a steamer, right?
So yeah, it's a steamer. It's going to get your water warm. It's not going to freeze everything. If you spray that cold one, you're probably going to freeze your line. You're probably going to freeze your washer. You're probably going to be looking at spending some more money to buy a new one.
There was a time when I was like 17 that like my car was iced over and I had to get to school. I was running late. So I took a bunch of hot water and put it on my windshield and got a nice hairline crack on it.
Yeah.
You know what you do?
What did I do?
Put it in a Walmart bag.
Put what in a Walmart bag?
You boil water, you get like five Walmart bags, and you dump the water in the Walmart bag, and then you use the bag and run the bag over your windshield.
Oh, really?
It won't crack your windshield. But like, yeah, you just use the bag and it gets it off.
Is this science approved?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I think you have to sprint though.
I mean,
you're racing against the hot water.
Well, dude,
it gets cold eventually, but
I'm fast.
Yeah, right.
I'm pretty fast. So, speaking of which, I crushed it today on it.
But so, like, so are there any markets that you think you're trying to tap into next? So, like, right now, you're mainly focusing on houses, right? Mm-hmm. And driveways and roofs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you looking into the car dealership? Well, if you do a car dealership, I assume your insurance policy has to go up a certain amount. Because, like, when I was doing a lawn mowing business, we had to have, like, $500,000 or $1 million insurance policy.
At least, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Gross.
So I'm looking into a few things. I don't know if I've went to doing the mobile detailing yet. I've seen it. I don't know
it's
if
a lot more chemical-esque.
Yeah. and just of car dealerships, you're going to want to be able to have probably two or three people. One person can get the job done, but two or three people,
you
I think,
have somebody
is,
follow behind you to chamois everything.
Yeah, you're going to want to move quick. So, especially if you're going to want to make your money, make your return. So
yeah, have them look nice. You don't want to like hose them down and then go do four cars and then they all have sunspots and
that's
they're all like,
oh shit,
yeah,
let me
like,
oh, rewind here.
Looks
yeah.
gross. That's interesting though. And then also shout out to Thrash.
Dante Thrash.
Dante Thrash from Gleam
Detailing.
Yeah, Gleam's plural?
Gleam
Mobile Detailing. He does a mobile detailing business where
dope.
He has like a van and he's got a whole like 55 gallon drum of water that he brings with him, similar to the pressure washing game, but he focuses solely
on cars.
Like cars.
Yeah.
It's really great. Like you can call him and he'll just show up at your work and like knock your car out. It's like $50.
Dope. And he's getting like all the crap. Like he's solid.
Oh, he's super solid. Yeah,
hell yeah.
It's for real. And seriously, check him out on Facebook. I think he has a website by now. But just Google Gleam Detail. Dude crushes it and it's super cheap. But that's interesting. And he's doing like what we were just talking about with the tank, but like on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. What does one of these large ass tanks go for? And then like what size are some pressure, some other, you have competitors.
Well, it depends on how you do it too. So like if you got semi-construction connects, like Alcoa does these where they get their like these 55 gallon square cubes, and it would be nothing to turn one of those into a water tank, and you can probably pick one of those up from Alcoa or wherever for like $50. But if you're buying one straight on the internet, you're looking at anywhere from $200 to $300, I think. Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Is Tom right or is he a fucking idiot?
Oh, no. Yeah, he's right.
It's a couple $100.
Give or take. You can probably find them on Marketplace for cheaper. If you got connects, you can probably get one for free.
Yeah.
So, it depends on what you want to spend, too. So, if you want to spend a bunch of money, you can. Like you asked of how much they're going for. Mm-hmm. Depends on what you want to spend. You can start at the bottom of the barrel just with a small washer. You can start medium. You can start big. If you want to go big and get a trailer, you're looking at a...
Trailer alone's a couple grand.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, you're probably looking altogether, it's going to be 20 to 30, depending on what you got on it. After you get your hose reels, your washer.
Well, and the upside, so there's like, when I was looking into it, there's two different ways you can go. So like when you're starting out, the best thing to do is just run a hose to the customer's house.
100%.
You know what I mean? And then like you're paying for your gas, which technically they're paying for in the end, but that's like the cheapest, easiest route. But then once you like find a way to bring your own water, then you can almost increase your,
this is a
but it also takes you to places where like you might not be able to run a hose to, or it's a pressure system. So you know what I mean? So like if you're running a 300-foot water hose, you're not going to get that X amount of water per minute that you need.
I'm glad you bring this up because Nick and I were actually just talking about this. Nick, give me a little explanation on how it works with when you do plug up to a person's house. So we talked a little bit about like some of your competitors who bring their own tanks. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll bring a 200-gallon tank.
Right.
But they only have 100 gallons of water in there.
Yeah, they're probably only rolling around with a few gallons.
Explain that a little bit. Like why do they do that? How does it work hooking up to the house? Kind of like you and I were talking.
Right. So it's a buffer tank. So yeah, you're going to roll around with not a full 250 gallons because then you're just looking at trouble. You're going down the highway. You're going to get pulled off
that
one.
Mileage too.
Yeah. So it's heavy. You're only rolling around with a few gallons. So yeah, you're still hooking up to the customer's house. Unless you're doing mobile detailing, then yes, they have their stuff figured out of bringing their own water. When you're doing a house and you're using more, you're going to have a buffer tank. You're still going to hook up to the customer's house to supply that. But that means your washer is going to be bigger. You're having a 5, 6, 8 gallon a minute pressure washer. So it's pulling a lot more. Your house is usually rated for 2.3 to 2.5, give or take on the
what
numbers.
What is that? 2.3 or 2.5?
Gallons per minute.
Gallons per minute.
So that's what your house is going to be putting
out. Does it just stop at that point?
So yeah, your washer is going to be going dry at that point.
Oh,
you're not
really?
Yeah, you're going to be taking too much water. It's not going to be, the water supply is not going to be able to keep up. So that's why the buffer tank comes in.
And can't you overheat your...
You can overheat it. Yeah, if you ain't got the water coming in, you can overheat and you're going to looking at, you know, buying more stuff. Yeah. So yeah, so that water just keeps it to where you have a floater in there in that tank and then you just have a drop stick essentially and wherever you want it to go, that way your washer can keep up with it and keep supplying. And whenever you stop, it stops. It's kind of like if, for reference, like your toilet, whenever your toilet gets to a certain level, it stops. Same thing, buffer tank. And then wherever you use it, it's going to fill back up as you go.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because I never knew that.
Yeah.
I thought these other pressure washing companies were just bringing, like, 200, 300 gallons right. to a job, and then like that's all they use.
The only time you bring full tanks like that is when you're doing water sandblasting, wet sandblasting, when you got to have that tank there to mix in.
I guess I don't know dick about sandblasting.
Well, there's different sandblasting. There's a wet sandblasting. So like if it's super windy and you're sandblasting outside, you want a wet sand. That way it falls to the ground instead of just floats through the air and gets everything covered in sand.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why do you know so much about this?
Because I used to do that.
Jesus Christ. He's a fucking construction worker. Did you know that?
He's a wizard.
Dude, he is. Honestly, Tom surprises me every single week.
Like, he surprised me a couple months ago whenever I saw him running across the street on Green River Road.
Yeah.
He surprised me then.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to just like mid-episode just like start juggling. And I'm like, I didn't even know you could juggle, dude.
I haven't picked that one up yet.
But Tom, it really is a jack of all trades.
Did the Green River, like it takes almost just as long to pull out of my work parking lot and go stop at that light and go across the street than it is to walk across. Oh, yeah. So if it's nice outside, I'm going to walk. Yeah. Plus, you use more gas starting your car. So it's like, start my car, drive there, stop, start my car again, or just literally get 10 minutes of exercise.
A lot of people don't realize that either. Like, starting and stopping your car. Like,
yeah, like if you're running low on gas, don't turn your car off.
Leave it running, yeah.
Yeah. It's an overspray to the cylinder to pressurize to start everything. And you have to do that on, if you have a V8, all 8 cylinders to get it to pressurize and go.
So we were talking about different avenues that you might branch out into, like car dealerships or, you know, whatever else. So when, like, we were talking a little bit about the show on some of these upsell packages that you could almost do, like, I wonder what the research would look like on that. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, he just did your porch, but yet your porch has a few spots that have dips or like low on paint or whatever. So like he could go through after he cleaned your porch, right? Let it sit for 2 hours, dry off, and then he could go through and repaint it and then come back in the next day and reseal it.
Oh yeah, we did talk a little bit about painting.
Yeah.
With these driveways, people get their driveways done, and if they have that special pebbled thing, it has to get sealed every year.
Yep. Oh, that was
exposed concrete.
That was off air that we were talking about that too, by the way. We were talking about your friend's garage.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And did you text us those pictures?
Not of the garage, no.
Oh, damn. I thought you did.
I did do one of the garage that we painted. So, like you were saying with other stuff of, like, upselling. So, I had somebody that wanted to list their house. So, they needed their garage on the inside painted really bad. So, they ended up getting a house wash, a full house wash. And then we also painted their garage. So, 13 years of smoking went from yellow to white again.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. Helped them out a lot.
Dude, and that's a game changer. And honestly, I feel like, and you and I have talked about this a little bit, like the housing selling market has to be like your wet dream, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because you want that vinyl fresh and clean. You want that brick, no dirt.
You want that curb appeal.
Not only that, but you know, some of these people are repainting their porch before they sell the house. And you can go through and pressure wash it, and then they damn near don't even need to sand it afterwards. Yep. And they can just paint and be done.
Yep.
Have you had to do any restaurant grease traps yet?
I haven't. I'm looking into it. Grease traps, I'm looking into.
What does that mean?
So all their grease catchers, like a good reference. I'm trying to think. It's somebody. So,
like McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
They have their grills, right? And so they wipe them down and everything, but that grease is still low-key popping everywhere. You're taking burgers off, you're moving it or whatever. And yeah, they may mop and stuff, but the mop's not getting all that grease. And so like they pull, I think it's like once a month or something, I mean, once every so often they pull them out, and then they hire somebody to come in and get the grease out, but then they pressure wash that entire grease trap out.
Oh,
well, and also too, like in fast food, I know whenever I worked in fast food, like on the grill, like Tommy was saying, you're scraping off all of that stuff constantly, burgers and everything. So you're scraping it into a trap, and a lot of places have another trap that they put it into. Then it goes out back by their dumpsters. So a lot of it is dumpster grease. You're getting all that traffic, that black tar looking stuff.
Yeah,
all by the dumpsters, everything where your trash trucks come. Then it gets brought into the restaurant and everything else. So I know a lot of the places keep it out back. So to keep that clean, it'd be awesome to wash all that.
That would be an interesting market to get into. I wonder if some of your competitors are doing that. I'm assuming they are.
I'm sure, yes.
I got a problem with Dawn dish soap real fast.
Fuck them. Dude, first off, no, that's yeah, where I'm no, at with Don. Yeah. Fuck them.
You can get grease off of penguins and all these animals that get in oil, but you can't take my spaghetti stained Tupperware out, you know?
Tom, I'm glad you made this pit stop. Because I have the biggest bone to pick with Don, dude. Literally that same fucking thing.
You like, can get oil off a penguin, but you can't get spaghetti stain out of Tupperware.
Yeah, the RSPCA or whatever that fucking animal fucking international company is that endorses Dawn dish soap. Hats off to you, but my dishes look like shit.
Yeah, dude.
I
switched. Always. I switched dish soap. Gain will take that fucking spaghetti stain out your Tupperware.
Dude, it's so garbage. I have 9 red Tupperwares.
Exactly.
I have 9 red Tupperwares.
Same.
I'll fucking burn them right now. God, dude. But Dawn, they always do that fucking 2-for-1 sale shit, and my wife fucking buys it.
Dawn Platinum, I was in love with, but I had to
whatever
switch.
That spray thing is. I love the spray.
That's the Platinum, I think. Yep. Yeah, the Platinum is.
Dude,
yeah.
And they got these new bottles now, so it's like you got, you know, your bottle container, but then they got the thing down here to squirt the shit out. Game love changer, bro.
Yeah, but Gain's making soap now?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. I just got 2 of them.
If they have the spray, I'm changing.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Dude, I honestly think Dawn can suck a dick. Make sure I clip that and tag Dawn in it.
Right. And let's tag FEMA or whatever the animal
RSPCA
thing is.
I think is the one where it's like in the arms.
And then let's tag like Rao's spaghetti sauce as well.
Clean your fucking duck.
Dude, what if we caused sauce. What if the Days Grim single handedly caused a feud between fucking Dawn and like fucking Rao's
Dude, Rao's is like top line spaghetti sauce.
Dude, Twitter's go hard now. Now
Twitter's
that,
going hard?
Now that Twitter is X, dude, Wendy's was fucking going wild. Have you seen this? God, I wish Drew was here. We could pull it up. Dude, Twitter has gone off the rails. And I think that a clip like that might just find its way on Twitter if we can get out of Twitter jail.
Yeah, we can just use my Twitter.
Elon the alien.
Dude,
he's killing
is.
It. He's
he
killing
is.
It over
he's
there.
He's crushing it, dude.
Fuck
what
yeah.
do you think about Elon?
Elon's a gangster, man.
Dude, he has autism.
Okay, good.
It's Asperger's.
It's Asperger's?
It falls in the autism spectrum.
Yeah, well, he's got Asperger's.
Well, I mean, the dude's making cars go from, what's the newest one? They're making it
like
0 to 60
in like
under 2 seconds.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's 0 to 60. And that's the fun thing about his cars is they don't have gears.
Right.
It's
fucking go.
What do they call that? It's the same thing as a moped where it's just one gear and it opens as you go. But yeah, it's 0 to 60 right now.
Ridiculous.
It's like 2.
Well, they have the Tesla Speedster, which is even faster than
it hasn't even been released yet, though.
Has the truck been released yet?
Samples.
The truck's close. Cybertruck, it's very close.
It looks kind of stupid, but I bet it's badass.
It's 0 to 60 and 2.2 as well.
Badass.
Do they have like driving games that you can play on the screen and use the actual steering wheel and gas pedal?
Nice.
It's intense, dude. He's a fucking genius.
He really is.
He's actually, they were doing a thing talking about like the other... this older richer like innovator and how like this guy there's only one other person other than Elon that owns $3 billion companies, and they like went through and named the companies, and then they were like Elon's got Tesla, SpaceX, but then like he started in PayPal, which was a $1 billion company, and then you have
X.com. that's where the name for Twitter came from.
You have Twitter, but then you also have the Boring Company. I mean, dude,
a lot of people don't talk about Boring.
He's in it everywhere.
No, he's a savage, dude.
Is he a time traveler, though?
He probably. The greatest thing about Elon, my favorite quality about him, is that like he's not hungry. Like he doesn't want all this money. He has a ton of money, but he also just like burns it and pisses on the ashes. Like he'll blow a space shuttle up next week and not give a fuck, dude. Yeah. That's $400 million right there. He just threw away.
And he's just popping out kids to repopulate everywhere.
And the thing that I respect the most about him is that he is... A, completely irresponsible with his money.
Love it.
Love that. B, he's not, money doesn't drive him. And he shows that by giving his patents to everything that he builds.
Doesn't he not
everything
have a house
SpaceX,
also?
No, nobody that's rich technically has a house.
So everything he's built in SpaceX, everything that he's built in Tesla, everything he's built in Boring.
I don't think SpaceX is patented.
Yes, he did. He gave them their... he open marketed his International Space Station connection.
Yeah, but the Raptor engine is not it's patented for sure.
For sure, 100%. I'm saying, but still, some stuff even in SpaceX, like he didn't patent the connection to the International Space Station. He let homeboy from Amazon build the same fucking connection.
Yeah. Bezos?
Yeah, Bezos.
But aren't they having a fight? No, it's Zuckerberg. They're going to fight.
No, dude, his bald ass wouldn't fucking...
You know, no, they're supposed to. I think they rented out the Coliseum.
Zuckerberg and Elon.
Yeah.
It's going to be a BJJ, or not a BJJ, but an MMA fight. Yeah. Dude, Elon's looking jacked lately.
Drew, he sleeps in his office,
Drew,
man.
Pull up a picture of Elon right now.
Yeah, pull it up real quick, man. It was great to meet you also, Drew. Dude, you're a gangster, man.
Also, Drew, I'm going to clip this and make sure you see it. Drew, we miss you and we love you and we hope that, what is it, camping or was it the bat mitzvah or what's he doing?
I don't remember. Camping was last week.
Yeah, but we hope you're doing well, man. We miss you. No, but yeah, Elon's extremely... So what do you think as a business, as a new business owner, do you think you... learn when you look at people like Elon? What do you first off, let me,
as an entrepreneur, are you looking at other entrepreneurs for like learning aspect or mentorship in the aspect of like what they do with their company?
100% to see what they're doing marketing wise, to see what they're doing, like we talked about whenever you were doing grass, if you're having a lot next to a lot, you're wanting to hit everybody. So yeah, I'm trying to look at a lot of the people that start their own and see what they're doing from there, how they're growing, how they're expanding, how, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you have a mentor by any chance here in town?
I don't.
You need to get one, dude. You need to get one. Find you one.
Do you link up with the Indiana Small Business Bureau?
You got to do that too.
They got a building downtown on Main Street and they'll hook you up with like your own personal plug or whatever you want to call it.
She's our assistant.
And so like when you go to get an LLC, like you can go through a lawyer like we did and pay way more money up front, or you can go through the ISBA or whatever.
That had to be what I did online because I didn't use a lawyer or anything. Exactly. I have an
LLC.
And
it's like $25-$50 or whatever. Yeah. They would have helped you fill out all that paperwork you need. And then also they would help you look at like how many other pressure washing people there are in the area and if that's actually like a smart choice or I think they'll even help you eventually with marketing and stuff like that. Like what's doing good, what's not doing good. But I feel like when you're looking at these businesses and like what, who's doing this and who's doing that, especially for marketing or whatever, that whole marketing world changes so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Like you see so many of these hip hop artists where they'll release a single here and then like a few more and then an album, or they'll drive up fake industry beef, which we talked about, or like you're seeing here lately.
T Predicate.
Well, yeah, but you're seeing people here lately, they'll drop a single on YouTube and you can only listen to that single on YouTube for 2 weeks and then it comes to Apple Music or something else like that. And I don't know what the reasoning is behind that. Maybe they get a bigger cut or, but
it could be just strategic.
We're just sampling the song. If it hits X amount of views, maybe we release it then. But
were you asking a question and all of that? Because
no, I was just saying the marketing, like marketing's always changing.
Oh yeah.
And like, you see so many ads, like Snapchat ads now, but Snapchat ads wouldn't necessarily be a prime thing for pressure washing. Your audience is mainly going to be on Facebook.
A lot of marketing that I've seen around town, and not me yet, but a lot of marketing I've seen is still the old-fashioned yard signs. Everybody's putting up yard signs. They're putting them on stoplights, you know, not stoplights, but on the poles and everything at stoplights.
Houses you do.
Houses you do, yeah. And you usually have, I don't know, however many signs you want, but you can take, you know, 8, and I did your house this morning.
Yeah.
Put a sign in the yard for a week or two.
You're
I'm going to come by and get it.
Sign in
my
yard.
I ain't got any fucking signs.
No, I'm joking. I would let you put a sign in my yard, bro.
But yeah,
I would let you put a sign in my yard.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Right. You put a sign out, and then a week later, you come by, week or two, you leave it out. People see it driving up and down. You get it, do another house. You put it in their yard. So you're saving a little bit of money. But you also have more, you know, to put around.
I wonder
town.
If you could hit it with like some subscriptions or like everywhere now, no matter what.
Fun fact.
I wonder if you could come up with some sort of pressure washing subscription, and then like, you know, X amount of money, you get X amount of washes a year, but you have to call me in order to book that wash. So like, you may say 5 washes for X amount of money, and they only call you for 3. You're still making money for all 5.
Right.
I have a fun point. I was talking to a member of JRL just the other day. Shout out to Jake. But we were talking a little bit about marketing, advertising, how to get your logo up, like, and we were talking specifically about the Daysgram, and we were talking about like, there's 2 things you can do. It's, I already forgot the first thing. And the second thing was community. Oh, consistency. Consistency mm-hmm. and community. And it was like getting out in the public and put your logo out there and be mm-hmm. in everyone's face and stuff like that. And that's mm-hmm. how you know, spread your name or whatever. And he started talking to me about billboards.
Mm.
And he was like, dude, billboards are gay. And I was like, yeah, they are. But he was like, also, they're extremely effective. And I was like, really? And you don't think about it, but I pulled up a stat real quick. So one of the most effective forms of advertising when used alongside digital marketing, but this goes both ways. Digital ads are more powerful with the help of billboards. But it's interesting that like that people are dumping billions of dollars.
Billboards are subliminal advertising, I almost feel like.
Right, but people are dumping billions of dollars into this thing that's in our pocket on our Facebook and on our Instagram and on our Snapchat and all this other shit. And it's like, yeah, but not everyone is on all those platforms. What does everyone do?
They drive.
They stop at fucking stoplights unless they're Bonnie and fucking Clyde and they just robbed a bank. Rolling. Even them still, they're driving. You know what I mean?
They're still going to see that.
Billboards are, I think, the most slept on form of advertising, and I'll die on that hill.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was making a meme to troll a buddy or whatever, and I was like Smokey the Bear, like I got to use Smokey the Bear, right? And literally, I made a meme, I sent it to him, and I was like, I don't know why, I was like, I have to have Smokey the Bear, right? And then I'm driving to work, and on Vogel, they have a Smokey the Bear billboard that I never noticed until I made this meme, and I was like, I wonder if that's subliminally where I got that.
Dude, I'm telling you. They're slept on.
They're in your head without thinking about
it. It's when you...
But you got to almost have the money to get the return, the RTI, the return on investment.
ROI.
From the billboard, because they're not cheap.
But it's almost like...
I wonder what they charge. Do you know?
It's expensive.
How long is it?
Everest is one of the companies that does it.
They do them on 30 days.
They do on 30 days, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Wes...
But he got connected with that one.
Yeah,
they're anywhere from like 600 to 1,000 plus
for a month.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Pretty reasonable actually when you think about it.
You know a lot of who's doing it though? Realtors.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everest is a realtor company. They own that plot that fucking post is sitting on, and then they own everything up above it. So yeah, it's real estate.
Have you thought or another idea that would be interesting is like in this year. I guess the question would be in this year, and I don't even want to ask the question because if it is dope, you might not want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so like as you're doing this pressure washing thing, like the real game changer would be if you can figure out like, hey, if there was a tool that did this, or if there was something that did like just made this process a little more fluid and you were to make that and patent it.
Stop where you're at. I'll ask the question for you without giving away his goods. I know exactly where your head's at. You've looked into other pressure washing companies before you started this gig.
Yeah.
You knew some folks. You talked to them. You're like, I'm thinking about it. Yep. What do I need? Bada, bada, bada. And they kind of put you through the ropes and showed you like what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Now being in this venture that you're in, is there something that you weren't shown through those companies and through those friends of yours that have other companies like what you're doing now currently? Mm-hmm. And is there a tool or something that you could be like, man, if I just had something... And all you have to do is say, yeah, I've seen something like that, or no, I haven't. You don't have to like give it away. Because honestly,
I'm really trying to think of something. Nothing,
is there
like,
something that could be a game changer?
Like if you could figure out a way, like how the plumbers have the snakes, if you could snake like somebody's, because that's another thing too with pressure washing is like cleaning out gutters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cush. Right,
also,
but if you could have a plumber snake that had like sprayed water on the end, and you could just run that bitch down the gutter and then down the spout and then pull it back up, game changer.
All right, and we have a new tool patented by the Days Grim LLC. No, I'm joking, but you haven't ran into anything like that.
I haven't ran into anything like that. Nothing comes to mind. I think.
What's the most pain in the ass part about your job?
The most pain in the ass thing.
What's the most pain in the ass thing? When you're pulling up to a house and everything's working perfectly. Your gun's working fine. You're not going to get wet. What's the worst thing about a job?
Always going to get wet.
Always going to get wet. The worst thing is whenever one of your tools break down. Definitely. Whenever one of your tools breaks down, for example, my gun broke down today. Want to have another gun on board. Didn't have another gun on board. Making it happen no matter what. You're going to get wet. So, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is that sucks. If something goes down and clogs up.
Is it possible to rebuild that gun? Or do you have to basically throw it out and get a whole new one?
That one is 100% getting thrown out. I've been wanting to throw it out for a little bit, so today was just the end of it. So putting her down. That today was the last one of it. So yeah.
Greener pastures.
Yep. Yeah, it comes in handy because it's a longer one that I can reach, but I'm moving on to something else that I can build a better gun that's still going to have the same reach, but a lot lighter.
Do they have collapsible guns, kind of like these tripods, Ooh. Where you can extend the gun?
I believe so. I don't know if they have an extendable gun itself, but I think they have a pole to where you can reach it up higher for the gutter.
That'd be hot.
Just put it on the gutter and...
If you were running a pressure washing company out of a fucking Toyota Prius or something, dude, you could fucking collapse that bitch down and put it in your glove box, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Next to your lipstick or whatever.
Foldable gun.
Yeah, dude.
Foldable gun.
In the military.
Credit card knife.
Dude, I was looking up some crazy... Oh, never mind. I don't want to get into it. Dude, we need to do another military episode ASAP because I'm like, I got that military itch.
Right.
I'm waiting to have another veteran on. So if you're a veteran and you want to do a podcast...
Have you tried any of these like... weird all natural cleaning products?
Oh yeah, like non-GMO or something, non-GMO. Or like safe for bunnies, or like it's good for the grass type chemicals. Have you done anything? Are you seeing any of that?
I haven't seen any of it. No, that's actually
new. Like safe for children. So everything you use is not safe for children.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Don't send your dogs out while I'm washing. Don't send your kids out there.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Don't drink it. Like I said earlier, it is pool chlorine.
It's
chlorine. It's not.
Is it more condensed than the chlorine that I put in my swimming pool? The chlorine that you use, like the ratio to water, is it stronger chlorine than what's in a swimming pool?
So,
like with the how, you know what I mean? Like you can. My question is, like, you can swallow swimming pool water and probably be fine,
right?
Like a gulp of it,
right? You don't want to keep drinking it though,
right?
Right.
But
you
like,
don't want to put a chlorine tablet in your gallon of water,
right? Yeah, but if it was end of times, you know. If you want to clean that water. But no, I'm saying like could I take a gulp out of your water and it not hurt me to the same ratio as pool water? Or would it be worse because the chlorine is so much more concentrated? You know what I mean? That's my question.
I would not recommend it. If you want to do it for somebody else, you can. But if you did, it wouldn't. You'd be all right.
You want to do this on the air? You want to take a gulp of chlorine water? See if you make it.
The stuff is still in the truck. Let's hook it up.
Let's get it going. Dude, speaking of people doing dumb challenges, man, I just watched a really good horror movie, Talk to Me. Have you seen this?
Talk to Me?
Talk to Me. Have you seen it? Talk to Me. I highly cannot advertise this movie enough. Oh, it was so spooky, and they didn't even, like, very good. Talk to Me on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, the new Exorcist is looking pretty good.
Looks fire as fuck.
It looks good. I got to cover the kids'
Napoleon
eyes.
Bonaparte movie?
The what?
Oh, yeah, they got fucking, what's his,
comes out in October.
They got Scarface to play him.
It looks fucking rad.
Who's that guy that played Johnny Cash and Walk the Line? Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix is playing Bonaparte, even though he's like fucking 6 foot
tall. Isn't that guy that plays the Joker? Or am I thinking
someone else? No, Joker died.
No. The new Joker.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did do the newest Joker.
Right. Okay.
Correct, yes.
I think they're actually making a second one of that, too.
Really?
Fuck, that's hot, dude. Oh, God. So many good movies, so little time.
You've got two kids now, right?
Two of them.
So you had another kid since last time we had you on. How's that?
I can't remember. I was thinking about that earlier.
Yeah, I was thinking about when was he born?
So he turned
two
weeks ago, the 14th, whenever the 14th was.
Oh, I think he was after, because we had you on in the first year of the pod, and we're rolling up on year.
Yeah, so I just had the one then.
We're going through. Yeah. We're going. This is year three. This winter is year three for us.
Buddy,
yeah, dude.
Double down.
So, what was that like going from one kid to two?
Definitely.
Is it like getting one dog and getting another dog? Where they
100%.
Which dog do you like best? Is my real question.
I like both the dogs equally.
That's the right answer.
Yeah, I like them both equally. One is a little bit easier to handle, and one just screams at me because he doesn't know what this is. He wants this. Yeah. This is everything.
Dude, at least your dogs don't bite you.
No, this one bites.
Oh, damn. We got a biter.
He fucking bites.
Dude, my fucking Snoop bit me the other day.
Did he?
I told you about that. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, no. I was telling Jake about it that came over. Damn. Yeah, he was on the floor I was sitting on the couch and I just reached down to pet him and he was asleep and he fucking reared up. Rah!
No, fuck.
His teeth are, he's so old. His teeth are like falling out.
Yeah.
So like he bit me and I think a tooth went on the fucking floor. It like didn't even hurt.
One
kid's way different than two. The wife wants a third, but
say you need three kids for your family name to carry on.
Yeah, well, I got two, so it's carrying on. Yeah. Two boys are carrying it.
You just
got
to keep them alive.
Yeah, if you got two boys, you're good.
Yeah,
you
know I'm good. I mean? Two boys.
Yeah, just keep them alive, man. It's really just a big game.
Yeah. How old's your first now?
Eight.
Eight, going on nine in March.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, not soon. Yeah. Brady, I thought you said like full earlier.
Sports mode, everything, man.
Really. B7 could care less about sports. He's more into like creative, making,
moving
whatever.
Moving into Mustang this year. Mustang baseball, right?
What is it? Pony? Yeah,
Pony League. First year of pitching.
Yep, first league of pitching.
Has he taken a pitch yet?
Yep. Actually, the coach hit him a couple months ago.
Ooh, bit one. I told you earlier. Yep. That's what made me quit Pony.
Yeah, yep. Because the coaches pitch in Pony, yep. Right?
Yeah.
Well, the coaches pitch in practice, so this one's actually kid pitch. So I think the coach probably hit him harder than what he'll get hit in a game.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. They're 8 and 9, so it's going to happen. But he's still in there. So
is baseball the only sport?
Baseball, basketball, football. We got the whole trifecta.
Dude, yep. That schedule wild. Life is nuts.
We actually got a break this year. He didn't want to do football. Basketball's coming up. Travel team for next year. Practice has already started. Regular season will come back up in the spring, right after basketball in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Right back into football after that.
Yeah,
it's not terrible. At least it doesn't cross too bad.
Yeah.
But if you had football in there too. Oh, and then baseball lessons on top of it. So,
which he's going out to Posey County for those.
Shout out Kevin Brown, Mount Vernon.
Yeah, dude.
I feel like Brian would crumble if he had a kid at first.
Oh, God, don't.
I think he would crumble in the beginning, but he would thrive in the end.
Once he got his schedule balanced out, he's a big schedule person.
Yeah, so I'm not going to sleep tonight now that he just said that. I'm gonna be like, oh, God, I have fucking nightmares of having a kid. I'm going to
night terror.
Like screaming.
That's what it's like. That's having a kid. That's exactly what every having
day.
A kid is.
Just every day.
Every fucking day, dude.
And biting your tongue a lot.
Yeah. Well, mine even said the other day, we're at dinner Friday, and he was like, hey, I tried to come into your room last night and wake you up, and you were snoring too loud, so I went back to bed.
You're like, hell yeah.
I was like, all right, buddy, good job. What do you mean? Dude. He's like, I don't know.
Sick.
I just tried to wake
you
up.
Do you think
was playing on the VR headset this weekend, mm-hmm. and he was playing some game, and he goes, he's talking to somebody on the VR headset, and he's like, hey, I got to go do something real fast. And he takes it off. He runs to the bathroom and he didn't make it. He shit his pants.
Oh, no.
You should probably bleep his name there at the start of that story.
Yeah, let's do that.
I was like, dude, VR, like, am I going to
He was lost
right,
in it.
Dude.
So take out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then also, no, what I had a really good point that I was going to, because we were talking about having kids and like, oh, yeah, I know what I was going to ask. Can we hit our kids yet? Is that like fair game? What's the statement on that? Is the jury out? Because what's the rule? Is there a rule? You guys are both parents.
I don't know. I've never heard.
Is there a rule?
Don't beat the shit out of them.
Don't beat the shit out of them.
It's okay. Scare them. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Scare them. I mean, my newest one is.
That's another thing that scares me.
Not hitting, but yeah, be more threatening. Tommy, I don't know if you tried it yet, but you get like right up on them.
Yeah, they rear
snag
down.
Snag their little ass up.
They rear down real quick.
Right. Like, look, I'm serious.
You're 10 times their size.
So, like, yeah. Some of these bigger scientists, mental whatever guys.
Psychologists.
Yeah,
and
but they're saying, like, there's a certain degree of struggle and, like, family turmoil to success. And mm-hmm. There's a certain ratio of, like, getting that blend perfect.
Right.
And
you have to have a little bit.
One of these psychologists was like, you know, like, me and my wife are still together, mm-hmm. you know, like, all this stuff. He's like, so I got to find some way to add some sort of turmoil to make my kid have that.
We're going to divorce.
Just kidding.
Who was
You're
it?
You're good now.
Oh, it's Matthew McConaughey. That's who I was thinking of. I just got green lights. Matthew McConaughey wrote a book.
All right.
Exactly.
The audio book to it? Fire.
He wrote a book called Green Lights, and it's just more.
He reads their audio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely reads it. So check that out on Audible or wherever you get your audio books at. But I just got the hard copy. It's sitting on the desk here, that brown book there with the green light on it. But essentially, it's just a memoir. And right opening gate, he starts telling you about his life, who he is, like where he comes from. Mm-hmm. And he talks about his parents a little bit. And I already knew this fact.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because you were like, oh, we're getting a divorce. Dude, his mom and dad got a fucking divorce twice. And then got married a third time.
He's successful as fuck.
And they got married a third time.
Yeah.
And then stuck it out. But that's love.
Good
dude.
For them. Oh, 100%.
That's love. Where Good you hate them. Each other so much where you're like, I'll fucking kill you. I need to be away from you.
And then we're going to get back together.
And then you get back
together.
And then you're also like, I'll still fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And then you leave again.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, especially from the story.
Honestly, I can't. I'm only on chapter one. I cannot suggest this book enough. But I will say, if you know anything about Matthew McConaughey, he's very windy with his words. Mm-hmm. It's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going.
Man.
You know what I mean? No. He's very...
And that's how it sounds when
he's very whimsically with his words. He's like, it's not the color orange that bothered you. It's your dad hated you because you shit in a bucket one time. And it's not the bucket's fault. Yeah, it's shit like that. But that's how the whole book has opened up so far. And I'm like, this is confusing, but I'm in.
I'm fully into it.
I'm all the way in. I'm all the way in.
Getting
dude.
That on
it's
Audible tonight.
You got to check it out.
It's fire on Audible.
You got to check it out.
And Audible gives you the link. So, like, Brian's book has like bumper stickers, or mm-hmm. that's what he calls them, or the pictures. But they give you the link.
Oh, you can see all the photos.
You can go to it and see it all.
Yeah. All the stuff in the book where it's like the color pages and all
that. What were we talking about before we went live? It was a movie. You said that it was clipped together. It wasn't clipped together. It looks like it was clipped together.
1917.
All right. So it reminded me of Chaos, since we were talking about books. Have you read Chaos yet? Mm-mm. By Tom O'Neill.
Tom who?
Tom O'Neill, I believe. I could be getting it wrong.
Drew.
Can you pull up
Tom O'Neill?
Help a brother out.
God damn it, Drew.
Tom O'Neill, I believe, is what it is. It's called Chaos. It covers the Manson family, et cetera, et cetera. This guy was hired by Rolling Stone for the... X anniversary of the Manson murders.
Yeah.
I think it was the 10th. I could be wrong. Something. And this guy went on a 20-year, and he just kept getting more and more and more information. So he finally got another editor and got the book. His small clipping that was supposed to be in the magazine Rolling Stone mm-hmm. for the anniversary turned into a full...
book.
Full novel. Dude. 20 years.
That's fucking sick.
Goes into CIA.
LSD.
Are you reading anything good right now? Since we're talking about good reads, so Chaos by Tom O'Neill.
Chaos.
I'm thinking if you're not on the Green Lights train by McConaughey, you've got to get in there. Have you read any? I know you're on Green Lights as well, but like, have you read anything right before that?
I just finished Relentless. I don't remember who it's by, but it's the guy that like trained Michael Jordan when he was coming up. Like,
no way.
Like Michael Jordan was already on the team and he was like a physical trainer, and he pitched to everybody on the team but Michael Jordan. And then like he heard Michael Jordan was looking, so he went and pitched him, and then like ended up getting him. Now he has like his own warehouse facility where people will go, like Kobe Bryant or whoever will, not Kobe anymore, but like
maybe
people will go and like train there for
peace. Rest in peace.
I might have read that same book. I want to say, I know the hardcover has like a black cover on it, but I can't remember what it was. But yeah,
it's
the
like
guy,
a black cover with a, there's something red on it too.
He talks about whenever he worked with Jordan, Kobe, and just the mentality of that not stop.
And he said that he would have respected Tiger Woods more if Tiger Woods didn't issue an apology.
Is it Relentless, From Good to Great, Unstoppable?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Tim S. Grover. Tim S. Grover.
Yeah, that's the guy.
And what's cool with that, if you get it on Audible, is it's almost like a David Goggins book where after they read the chapter, they do a short
Who's
talk.
Gonna carry the boat, son?
Yeah, dude. Hell yeah. No, like the podcast style thing.
Yeah, so like in between certain chapters, him and the
he
co.
Said, Who's carrying the boat?
Him and like the co-writer.
Dude, that motherfucker has me want to go through a wall. Listen to Goggins.
David Goggins gets me fucking.
Who's going to carry the boat? So they don't fucking know me.
Dude, when he says get hard, I'm half chubbed.
He's got two books on Audible.
Yeah.
Liar.
Yeah, Can't Hurt Me. And what's his second one?
Mm-hmm.
good promo.
Not as good as the first.
There's a lot of good reads out there, man. So, and that's one thing that we push on the show is that, like, yeah, man, just really don't be stagnant.
Another cool thing about Audible is like Brian. It's just like Netflix. Like Brian has my password, so he can read any or listen to any of the books
that you get or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, if you have Prime, that you get a credit every month too. So if you're paying,
what?
If you're on Prime,
I'm getting
you're getting. Oh, up, man. If you got Prime, you're getting a credit every month. Let's see.
Me,
I got whenever I first downloaded, I got two books. Let's see, I got one credit right now.
Shout out, speaking of Audible, I used one of your credits to get the audio version of Frank Bill's Donnybrook, and I'm loving it so far. I'm near the end. I'm three quarters of the way through. If you haven't seen the film Donnybrook or read the book Donnybrook,
you can return books too if you don't like them.
Get in there,
really.
Very
got one
good.
Sitting
very
right
good.
They're on their website.
Thanks for cutting me off.
You're welcome.
Frank Bill's a great writer.
What kind of books are you?
Anybody else want to cut me? No, I'm joking.
What kind of books are you looking? What kind of books are you reading, Tommy?
Oh,
I tried to turn Brian on one, but he was like, "Nah, fuck you, man."
It was
my books are all history based or self improvement along those lines.
You're a big fiction guy.
Big fiction. I love murder mystery. So
that's the one you gave me. Was
yeah, it was Which one? Guess this. Guest List by Lucy Foley.
That's the one you gave me, yeah.
I've read three more by her since then.
I can't do it.
You got Chaos, The Paris Apartment, The Real Anthony Fauci by Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Not including a COVID shot.
Is that read by him?
No.
I would buy it if it was read by him.
And The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross.
Yeah, that's on my wish list. Is it actually
Sacred Mushroom
good?
And the Cross? Yes.
You said Fauci, right?
Yeah, The Real Anthony Fauci.
Like the COVID shot guy.
Right. Oh, okay. It goes into all that.
That's what it's all about?
The whole book's about everything that he's done. The AIDS crisis, the COVID, the whole thing.
Bill Gates. All right, we don't need to get into that.
But honestly, if we want to go down it.
I'm interested, though.
I got a textbook on Napoleon Bonaparte on Audible. It's like 32 hours long.
It's a textbook.
It is, dog.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I got a book from fucking...
like the McAtevy or whatever. Yeah, it's pretty rad.
I fucking rented a book from fucking St. Josephine High School. I'm fucking reading it.
I think the real Anthony Fauci is, I think it's like a 15-hour audiobook.
I believe that, dude.
I don't have time to listen to it during the day anymore. So,
dude, but seriously, I can't suggest it enough. The Green Lights so far. I haven't even listened to it. I've just been reading it.
I told him to listen to it before he.
Well, you know, I was talking to the owner of JRL Studios about that the other night, and we were talking about Green Lights, and I was like, "Yeah, I just bought it. I'm waiting for it to come in." And
he's connected with Zach Parsons, so
but he's in the book reading club they're doing, and he was like, "Yeah, I did the same thing. I bought the book and I started reading. I got to chapter 5, and then I got busy, and he was like, I just started listening to it."
Mm-hmm. I do it backwards. I listen to the book, and if it's good, I'll buy the physical copy and I'll put it on my bookshelf because I'm like, I know what's in this book,
right?
But then when I go to read it, I'll go through and highlight it or I'll make notes.
I'm a tangible guy. I need it in my hands.
Yeah,
I need it in my hands.
I think I'm side more with Tommy on that. I'm listening to it and then I'm buying it just for my bookshelf.
Dude,
I go back and listen to it again.
You got some fucking turds out there reading some of these audiobooks, dude. And
that's why you sample them. And if you fuck up and don't sample because you got a bankroll of credits and you don't like it, you can return it through Audible's website, not the app.
Are you guys taking notes? Take notes.
You can only return so many before they're like, hey, I think you're fucking me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to fucking keep some of them.
You're like, hey, I've had Audible for 2 years and just figured this out. I got a lot of shit that I wanted to give back.
Dude, if you're on Audible and you're not returning books, you're doing it wrong. That's what we're getting.
Got a couple to return.
No, man, but in this, so you've been doing this since April, dude. So what in the last, since April have you learned so far? What's the biggest thing you think you've learned starting this company? Whether it be about just being a business owner, being an LLC owner, or just pressure washing in general, power washing in general. What do you think is the biggest thing you've learned from April to the right now to the day we're recording, which is September 23rd or something.
Yeah, 24th, 25th, 20th, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is.
The biggest thing I've learned is marketing. I did not know how much went into marketing, how much you had to do constantly. So the washing side, I knew just from messing around with it and doing, you know, like I said earlier, friends and family and stuff like that. But the marketing of it, the backside of it that people don't see, I never knew that much.
Right.
So I know whenever I first started, I came to you, and since you've been into... you've done a lot of stuff. You've known more of that side, and I learned a lot of it. A lot of what I've picked up more recent from you, of the social media side.
The social media side.
Never even thought about that until we talked. It was all just old school, you know, marketing of, like I said earlier, the signs and knocking on the doors, you know, meeting face to face and talking. But yeah, the social media now is everywhere. So that's the biggest thing I've learned is the marketing.
Actually, before you get there, before we put a bow on this episode, it's funny that you say that. Someone who owns a business like you own, it's almost like somebody who owns a construction company or something, like a new construction company. Like, how does that person get the ball rolling?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in their head, they're a very tangible, hands-on, shake your hand, calluses, you're very fucking in your face people. Mm-hmm. Like, they prefer a face and a handshake over a fucking email 9 times out of 9. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Is that a deterrent for you? Do you find it to be upsetting that the social media side of it, is that a deterrent for you? Does that bother you? Do you wish it was more tangible? Like, hey, let me just knock on some doors and like, let me just be like, hey, my name's Nick and I run Purple Moose Power Washing LLC. And here's what I do. Do you want my services? Like, do you wish it was more that way, or do you not mind the social media
side? I don't mind the social media side because you only are one person, so you can only be at one place at a time. So I may be doing a job and I can meet people, but at the same time I could be running ads on whatever platform, Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, and I can reach a bigger audience. So I can reach that audience while I'm in person.
And you're younger too. Right. You grew up with social media, so it's not like outside of your wheelhouse.
Right. It's not like I can't.
Guys in their
out.
40s and 50s, if they were starting a brand new company, it might get a little gray. Right. But
now it's so like plug and play. It's so easy to do it nowadays, to where it's plug and play, very user friendly for a lot of the sites. It's Facebook holds your hand the entire way of click here and. Right. This is what you're doing. This.
By the way. I didn't mean to cut you off. No, that was just a really
good point.
That was a good... Yeah. So, sorry. But anyway.
Has there ever been a moment in this last year where you wanted to throw in the towel on the pressure washing? And if so, you don't have to go into it, but like, what pulled you through that?
No, not at all. If anything, I've wanted to go more. I'm wanting to push it more. I think in the future, I would like to do it full-time. Right now, like I said, it's just part-time. But...
Three-quarter time.
Right. Three-quarter time, part-time, whatever it is. just keep putting money back into it and keep trying to reinvest in myself and keep going.
That's the key.
Try not to have the doubts.
That's the key. Any new business owner will tell you that. Any dollar you make, they see a dollar sign and they're like, oh, I made it. No, you didn't.
No.
Take that dollar.
Put it right back into it.
Put it. Yeah, exactly.
Every time.
Every single time, dude.
Yep.
And that's very mature of you to see that. A lot of business owners don't see it that way. Mm. A lot of business owners run on credit, too.
Yeah, well.
Which is that's a huge mistake within itself.
Well, it depends on what
you're
doing.
It depends on what you're doing. But it's not a mistake. But
when you're starting out, you can vary with what you want to do. If you want to go balls deep when you're starting out, by all means, go for it. Yeah. If you want to drop $20,000 on it and you got that, go for it. But if you don't,
piece it together.
Keep rolling
reinvest,
as you go.
Reinvest. And I think you're doing it right, man.
Yeah. Don't see that money and think that you're done because you're not.
It's not, man. You got a family to feed.
That's right.
And you got a future to think about.
Yeah. And that was the whole thing starting it was with the boys and, having the family and everything. Everything's going up, so a little bit of side hustle never hurt anybody. So keep going.
I'm thinking about door dashing, dude.
I did that a couple years ago.
I swear to God, dude, I'm about to start fucking door dashing.
Don't door dash. Get a part-time job at a pizza delivery place 2 days a week on their fast days, and then you come home with $100 cash both days. Mm-hmm.
That answers my next question. So you would do the pizza thing.
Yeah, on their two busiest days, Thursday and Friday, and Saturday.
So if you had to, I'm just curious, and we'll end the episode on this, dude. Just a side hustle is a good thing.
Yeah.
If you had to choose, what are you doing for a side hustle? Like right now, we need X amount of more income for the next 6 months. Okay, I'll do this on the weekends. What's your side hustle? What are you picking? What do you go with? You know what I mean? What do you think is out there for the listener that can be like, oh man, I can use an extra $100 a week or $200 a week? Like what side hustle do you think you pick? Is there a good one out there that's caught your eye before?
I'm going to have to say washing because that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
So side hustling, go and do wash. It's very easy to get into. Do a little bit of research. It's very easy to figure out. Anybody can go up and clean some gutters. Yeah. If you want to start cleaning gutters, it's easy. If you want to start wiping windows, it's easy. Season. And it's about to be gutter
100%,
season.
100%, dude. Those sycamores ain't going to fucking pick themselves.
That's right.
Dude, honestly, my side hustle, I think I'm mowing yards. I think I'm doing lawn care. Like full lawn care though. Like I'll plant you a garden. I'll get your flowers arranged for you. I'll do the weed eating. I'll clean up your sidewalk. I'll do the yard.
So landscaping for you.
Landscaping, yeah, I would do that in a heartbeat.
I hate landscaping.
I would get two clients. I would get two clients and every weekend I would be there and they would give me, I don't know, I would charge $50-$80 a weekend.
$80? Damn, son, you're expensive. I'm going to need you to come do my grass.
$50-$80 a weekend, and I'm doing your weeds, and I'm tending your flowers.
You're doing the whole thing. You're not just cutting. Okay.
No. It's lawn landscaping.
I need you to come over next weekend.
It's lawnscaping. Lawnscaping, dude.
I got some weeds to be picked.
Doing
man.
Some lawnscaping.
I got so
outside.
Many different ideas, though.
Tell me, what do you got? What do you got?
He's going pizza, dude.
I would do the pizza delivery.
You got the black
2-3 days a week. Yeah, but I mean, there's all kinds. So, like, if you're really trying to save $100, $200 a week,
yeah,
get a part-time job at Walmart for 10 hours and then use that Walmart discount for all your groceries.
That's true. That's a good point. There's a lot of part-time jobs there hiring is. Right
but
now.
But it's more so of like, if you need the money, look at where your biggest expenses are. How soon do you need it? Well, yeah, how soon you need it is one. And then also like,
where
look
do you
at,
need it?
Look at where your biggest expenses are and see if you can get a part-time job and get that discount and save X amount of money.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I did DoorDash a couple years ago and that was
shout out to all the DoorDashers out there, dude.
That was pretty good. USI, Eagle Village, they were rocking and rolling on a
Friday.
Got a
guy named that gave me a bad Sonic order one time. I didn't forget about you. other than that, great experience. Yeah.
You didn't tip him, did you?
No, fuck, dude. He still got a tip because I'm not fucking. Man. I'm not an asshole, but yeah. No, but it's great, man. I like the hustle. I like the grind. I like. Mm-hmm. I like your answer to the darkest question, man. I like how you haven't had a darkest moment. You want to go harder.
Yeah. Keep rolling.
You're not hard enough. I need you to get harder.
Yeah, no. I can't get harder.
Who's carrying the boats, dude?
Who's going to carry the fucking boats?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. Who's carrying the boats, Tom? Who's carrying the boats?
Goggins is carrying the boats 100%.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what else we can gather out of this. I know that this is a new company. I know that you're crushing the game. I've seen it firsthand. And I know you could have done anything for the last 2 hours, but you were kind enough to come in here on the fly and come talk to the Days Gram, and I greatly appreciate it, sir.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so for sponsoring us.
For those 12 episodes, dude, we got your name out there, man.
I love it.
And we're open for another 12. We're open for fucking whatever people
I will
want.
You got definitely be doing it
you,
again.
If you're a listener and you own a business and you need your name put
hit
out,
them up.
Fucking hit us up, dude. We're fair. We're the lowest prices in the game. Hit us up, man. So seriously, thank you for that. And then thank you for also coming in for 2 hours.
No
we really appreciate it, man. This has been another thrilling episode of The Days Gram. My name is Brian Michael Day.
My name is Thomas Graham.
And this has been Mr. None Other Than Nick Martin from Purple Moose. That's one word. Don't fuck this up. Power Moose. I fucked it up. Purple Moose Power Washing, dude. Thank you
Rolls
so
off the
much.
Tongue.
Exactly. Thank you so much, dude.
Bro.
Spin it up, Drew.
Hey guys, if you liked what you heard today, there will be a new episode next Tuesday as well as every Tuesday at 6 a.m. So hit that subscribe button and let your phone do all the work for you.